Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know these really cool neighbors that we get to have in our community and seeing what all they're doing with us and for us. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Aubrey Simpson Gotham, the founder and CEO for Fostering Connections. Aubrey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Colby. I'm excited to be here.
I'm super excited. I love your voice. It sounds just so sweet. And I feel like for a company / organization like this, you have to be sweet. So can you give me a rundown on what Fostering Connections does?
Fostering Connections St. John's is a nonprofit organization based in St. John's County. We help fill in the gaps in services for local children in foster care through providing needed essentials, education programs, and community awareness. We ensure that our foster youth have all the resources and supports they need to achieve their goals. We service St. John's, Putnam, Flagler, and Volusia counties.
And so when you say things like essential needs and you service these foster kids, what are these needs? Where are y'all stepping in?
When children come into foster care, many times they do not come with anything. So we help with providing care packages as kids transition into foster care. They're little backpacks that are filled with needed essentials like toiletries and comfort items like lap quilts to help them get settled into their foster home and to give them something that they can call their own amidst a very sad and confusing time from them changing from their going from their biological home, which all they've known, to a foster home. And foster parents need a lot of essentials for our foster youth, things like car seats, clothing, and also enrichment items for the children, like art kits or laptop computers and essentials like that. So we help fill in those essential gaps for the foster parents. Foster parents do get a stipend each month, but as you know, and parents know that, having children, there's a lot of expenses. So we come in and fill in those gaps to ensure that the kids have the needed essentials.
And this, like you said, not just for the kids, but for the parents that have taken on this role.
Absolutely. Our foster parents are amazing. They take care of all the basic needs for the child, attend all their school conferences and take them to doctor's appointments, ensure that they're keeping in contact with their biological families, attending court dates, having home visits from their case managers. Foster parents, they wear many different hats, and they're just amazing people.
And just so you can kind of grasp the situation at hand, why are these kids transitioning homes? What's going on?
Well, when children come into foster care for many different reasons, typically in the state of Florida, it's usually due to parent drug abuse. Their parents are abusing drugs or alcohol and have a home environment that's just not safe for the children right now. Children come into foster care for other reasons as well, sometimes due to the death of a parent or the incarceration of a parent, or if their home environment's unsafe, if there's roaches and just the home environment's just very unsafe, sometimes due to domestic violence in the home. Kids can come into care for many different reasons, but the purpose of putting them into care is to make sure that they're in a safe home environment and to help their biological families get the support they need, with the goal of always being to reunify the children with their parents.
So, Aubrey, what have you noticed that these kids are in need of most?
What has been a huge need the last year or so are technology items, especially with a lot of kids doing virtual learning still. We've helped a lot of kids this year get laptop computers for school. iPads are needed for the younger children. And they need a lot of education and life skill support services, which we come in and help. But on the essential side, definitely laptop computers, iPads are big items, clothing, things like bicycles, games, toys, many different items to help, you know, the kids have a sense of normalcy and make sure they have the needed essentials.
And it's really sweet because Fostering Connections does more than just give out computers. What other services and programs are y'all able to provide?
We have several education and life skills classes for our youth in care. On the enrichment side, we offer arts classes during the school year in which the kids can come once a month and do an art project with a local artist. We just had an art show in the St. John's County, in the rotunda of the St. John's County Administration Building, showcasing the artwork of children in care. So that's on our rich enrichment side. On our education side, we have our Career Readiness Academy program, which is in partnership with the Kookaburra Coffee. It's a job skills training program for teens in care and teens that are transitioning out of care. And in those courses, they learn all of the essential skills they need to secure a job, how to apply for a job, resume writing, interview skills, basic customer service skills, working with team members, work attire, and basic budgeting. And they go through a 3-class series covering all those topics. At the end of the program, they graduate and are placed in a paid internship opportunity they can put those skills into practice in an area that interests them. And then we have soft skills classes for them in which they continue to grow in their career skills, with classes like dealing with conflict, interpersonal communication skills, skills that will help them succeed in their future careers and in life. We also offer academic support through referrals to tutoring or us providing tutoring ourselves. And we also offer them monthly volunteer opportunities. In the fall, we are launching a teen advisory board in which our teens that have graduated career readiness help assist us with program planning and get some leadership training to become future leaders. So we have our career readiness program. We also have our college readiness academy, which is a week-long program this summer in July at St. John's River State College, and the kids get introduced to college, different majors, how to apply for college, financial aid opportunities, and learning things like study skills that will help them succeed in college. And we also just launched our life skills training program, where we have cooking classes for the kids aging out of care, learning from chefs. The kids are going to be receiving a cookbook to have in their first apartment. And we, in the fall, we're going to be launching some financial coaching programs for our kids that are aging out of care. So those are just a few of the programs, education programs that we provide. We continue to grow and expand to help fill in the gaps in services. Because of all the transitions in their lives, a lot of our youth in care miss out on valuable job and life skills training. So we want to make sure that they have that training, so when they age out of care or go back to their families, that they have the skills that they need to be successful.
And it sounds like everything you named and everything that y'all offer, it's good for anybody. Like, you don't have to be in the foster care system to want to know how to apply for a job and how to behave during a job interview and even how to cook. Like, this is great things that these kids now have access to because of Fostering Connections.
Thank you. Yes. These are all essential skills for any kids. We've had parents in the community say, can my kids come? And so it's definitely, these are much needed programs. So we're so glad to be able to offer these to our foster youth and look forward to continuing to grow our programs.
Aubrey, do you have a favorite program you offer and you're like, man, I wish I could have taken that as a kid or been a part of it?
My favorite is our Career Readiness Academy program. I just love that we give the kids the tools they need to be successful, and then they have an internship to put that into practice. When I was a teenager, the Great Recession was happening, and a lot of jobs just weren't hiring teenagers at that time. So I didn't have the opportunity to do an internship until I was about to graduate college.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's wonderful for our high school students to be able to have those internship opportunities and employment opportunities, because you can learn so many great life skills at an early age that will help them. I didn't learn some of those skills until after I graduated college and got my first job. So I really wish I had that opportunity as a teenager. So I just love our program. The Kookaburra Coffee has been such a great partner on this program, and we're so excited to continue to grow it.
Yeah, you said that y'all are able to partner with the Kookaburra Coffee Shop. what if there's other businesses that hear this and they're like, oh my gosh, that would be an incredible opportunity. Are you open for other partnerships?
Yes, absolutely. With our internship program, we like to match the students with areas that interest them. So we continuously seek to partner with businesses all around the community that would be interested in partnering with us, because our kids, they all have varied interests. Our first round of internships that we had in our first class, we had a student interested in restaurants, and a student interested in being a veterinarian, a student interested in being an office manager. So the interests are so varied. So that's why we love to partner with different businesses, so we can place our students in areas that are that interest them both.
And then for things like the tutoring services you provide, have you noticed that that's really helped the kids in school? Because I'm sure like when they're taken out of their home life and placed into another one, that affects how they're doing in the classroom. So has that really helped?
Absolutely. Our tutoring program has been helpful to the students that have been able to participate. It's been a little slow growing this year because of the coronavirus. We would really like to come to the schools and have the students tutor there, because a lot of our students have transportation challenges. So we look forward to growing that program next school year as things begin to open back up.
Okay, that's so sweet. And have you felt that, like, even through these programs, these kids are able to make a lot of friends that are kind of in a similar situation to them?
Absolutely, yes. In our career readiness, our students, they built really strong friendships this year, you know, going through similar things. And our program really helped a lot during this time of the pandemic. A lot of our students were doing distance learning and, you know, weren't seeing friends much. So this group, Career Readiness Group, offered them opportunities to see fellowship with one another each month, and through that they built really strong friendships, and that was one of the most rewarding things of career readiness, is watching the kids grow in their career skills and building friendships, because community is so important for kids in the foster care system, because they're, you know, away from their biological families, and sometimes even placed in a new different community. Maintaining and building friendships is really important for them.
Well, again, I have the privilege of chatting with the founder and CEO of Fostering Connections, Aubrey Simpson Gotham. And Aubrey, we've been able to chat and hear how much you guys pour into the kids that are going through all of this. But now I want to kind of switch sides, and I want to know, what does a foster parent look like to Fostering Connections? Like, what kind of characteristics and qualities do they have?
Well, foster parents, they're first of all very compassionate and caring individuals. They really want to see every child that comes in their home succeed and have their needs met. And foster parents, there's all kinds of foster parents. We have you know, your traditional family, we have single parents, all different kinds of families, empty nesters, families with young children, families with teenagers. So it's a very diverse group, but what they all have in common is that they want each child to be safe, taken care of, and to be able to have all the resources they need to succeed.
And do you guys help the parents who are transitioning into becoming foster parents also, or is this more kid focused?
We focus primarily working with the children, but we help the families through providing needed essentials. We do not do any kind of licensing or management of foster homes. That is left to the local foster care agencies. We come in as an enrichment and providing essentials and needed items for the kids. We help fill in the gaps where the agency and state services can't.
And with that, how are y'all funded? Is it through governmental funding?
We are funded primarily through private donations. We have a wonderful board of directors that helps us with fundraising. We have two annual fundraisers a year, and we have local businesses and individuals that give us donations throughout the year. We did receive one grant from St. John's County for the coronavirus, a COVID grant, but that was our first government grant. We've been all funded through private donations.
So what are those fundraisers that you host throughout the year?
We have two fundraisers that we host. Our first one of the year is Night of the Arts. That was held on May 1st at Fantasy Farms in Ponte Vedra Beach. And we were able to raise over $18,000 from that event.
Whoa.
It's a great event, an evening immersed in the arts. We had our student art displayed. And then we had several local artists participate. Maria Reyes-Jones brought her work. We had aerial artists. We had a local dance group do dances. We had a local band, Parker Urban Band, play music. So it was a wonderful evening immersed in the arts to raise funds and support for our educational programming. And then in the fall, in November, on November 6th, we're going to have our first annual Foster Friends 5K in Nocatee. It's going to be a great race. Anderson Realty is the title sponsor, and we're really excited to get out in the community and have a wonderful race to raise funds for needed essentials for our foster youth.
And so when you guys receive these grants, like you said, but then also from the fundraisers, where's this money going specifically?
The funds raised go to our education programs like Career Readiness and to provide our needed essential items such as the car seats. We also help with the foster parents at the holiday time. So we do a back to school bash. We're going to have our next back to school bash on August 7th at Flagler Health Plus Village at Mirabella in the World Golf Village area. And then we also help with the Christmas party. So having them things for their Christmas party, doing a holiday gift collection for the families. So funds raised go towards our essentials and our education programs.
And really dispersed throughout the year.
Yes, we give throughout the year. Our essential items, those are given out year long. And during the holiday time and back to school time, we make sure the kids have their backpacks and school supplies, holiday gifts. We've helped with Easter baskets at Easter time. So we are serving our local foster families throughout the year.
But specifically in May, because it's Foster Care Awareness Month.
Yes. For Foster Care Awareness Month, we also help celebrate our foster families through typically they have a banquet. The banquet's been rescheduled for the fall, but we help collect little gift cards and gifts to show our foster parents how much we appreciate them.
So since the banquet has been postponed to the fall, how are you guys bringing awareness during May?
We have been raising awareness through our social media posts and planning for our events in the fall. We had wanted to do, you know, a little lunch basket or something for them, but we were really encouraged by our local agency to focus on the banquet in the fall. But in the meantime, we are sharing our thanks on social media, and we're also going to be helping with an event the foster parents are going to be hosting this month, providing crafts for that event. So we definitely are showing our appreciation until we're able to all celebrate together in the fall.
And why do you think it's so important that people are aware of these circumstances and are aware of the fostering community?
It is so important because our foster youth are some of our most vulnerable children. Mm. Our foster youth, because of the trauma and abuse they've experienced in their life, they're much at risk for problems in their adulthood. About 20% of our foster youth that age out of foster care are immediately homeless. 70% of girls become pregnant before age 21, and our males are at higher risk for incarceration. And our foster youth often, when they age out, have to rely on government assistance and struggle with their mental health. Children in foster care have PTSD at rates higher than combat soldiers. So these are young people that are in great need of our support and help and need all of the resources and supports we can provide to make sure that they can achieve their goals and economic self-sufficiency and happiness throughout their adult life.
And I think one thing about helping bring awareness is everything you just said, like all those statistics and all those facts, I had no idea. And that's why there's organizations like Fostering Connections that are trying to switch the curve and trying to make newness out of what's been going on in these kids' lives.
Absolutely. And I'd like to add, too, that 3% of our foster youth go on to earn a bachelor's degree. And they do get tuition waivers from the state of Florida to go to college tuition free. But due to all the obstacles that I mentioned, getting a college degree is there's a lot of obstacles that they can encounter. So that's why we have our college readiness and career readiness programs to help improve those statistics to ensure that our foster youth have fulfilling careers and lives.
And Aubrey, like, you're amazing, but I know there's no way you can do all of this on your own. So do you have a staff? Do you have volunteers? Who's helping stand by you and support this mission?
We have a wonderful board of directors and advisory council that helps fill in the gaps. We have some volunteers. I am the only employee of our nonprofit currently, so I run all of the day-to-day operations. And we are looking for more volunteers. During the coronavirus, we had some folks have to step back because of, you know, work commitments and family commitments. So we are looking to expand our volunteer team. So any folks that are listening that are really interested in volunteering with us, we'd love to speak with them.
And how can we get in contact with y'all if we do want to be volunteers, or in any way just kind of help out or even give back financially?
Absolutely. Are anyone interested in donating or volunteering can visit our website, which is fosteringconnectionsstjohns.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. They can reach us at 904-813-5809 or by email at fosteringconnectionsstjohns.org. We are also on Care Connect Plus Volunteers, so anyone interested in volunteering can also visit that page to sign up.
And when you think of somebody that comes alongside you and volunteers, what characteristics do they have? What are you looking for?
Our volunteers are very compassionate, very patient, and are enthusiastic in our mission and want to make a difference in kids' life. They're really passionate about our youth and their welfare and ensuring that they are successful. And our volunteers always go above and beyond and just love to help. And they're such a blessing to our organization.
And Aubrey, for those of us who, like, maybe don't have the time and maybe don't even have the finances to come support you, but in some way we still want to, what can the community do for you and your mission?
The community can help by sharing our posts on social media, raising awareness to your family and friends about our foster youth and the challenges that they have, and also just telling your friends and family about us and the things that we need help with. And, you know, with all our connections, it's amazing what the community can do together.
So one more time, Aubrey, tell me the best way to reach you, whether we want to give, whether we want to repost something, or even if we want to help volunteer. How can we contact y'all?
The best way to get in touch with me is by email at fosteringconnectionsstjohns.org or fosteringconnectionsstjohns@gmail.com, or giving us a call at 904-813-5809. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, perfect. Aubrey, thank you so much for everything you do and for being such a sweet neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio. Happy 4th of July from Ronnie's Wings and Oyster Bar in Green Cove Springs. Ronnie's is known as Clay County's place to go for wings, steak, chicken, seafood, and a lot more. Lunch or dinner, to dine in or to go, or if you're planning an event, Ronnie's is the answer. Ronnie's is proud to be an official Florida Restaurant Association COVID safety staff participant. Ronnie's Wings and Oyster Bar, Walnut Street, Green Cove Springs.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text BICEP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BICEP to 321-321. That's BICEP to 321-321.
Panera favorites are hot and ready to serve for dinner. Taste our creamy mac and cheese served in a crispy bread bowl. Or the classic bacon turkey Bravo featuring our signature sauce. How about our new mouth-watering chipotle chicken and bacon flatbread pizza? These and other favorites are waiting for you. Order dinner tonight for delivery or pickup, only at Panera. Availability and pricing may vary.
Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Now, when you make a purchase with Credit Karma Money through July 23rd, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
The United States is among the most dangerous developed nations in which to give birth. It's not fine, but together we can do something about it. Help March of Dimes give every mom and baby the best possible start. Sign up today and join us at March for Babies to walk alongside thousands of supporters to raise awareness and funds to fight for the health of all moms and babies. Register now at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
And welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is just an opportunity that we get to know our neighbors and hear what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Karen Patterson. She's the Community Development Coordinator for Life South Community Blood Center. Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Colby. Always a pleasure.
Well, Karen, I love having you on, and it feels like everything is ever-changing, especially when the need for blood is involved. But can you kind of give us a rundown on what Life South does?
Sure. Life South Community Blood Centers, we're a community-based blood center, and what we do is we are responsible for providing all the blood needed for patients at Wolfson's Children's Hospital, Baptist Medical Centers, Orange Park Medical Center, and Memorial Hospital. So Jacksonville needs a lot of blood. We're a very large city. So we're out there every day on our red, white, and blue blood mobiles and in our donor centers asking people to come in and share the gift of life.
So Karen, it's obvious that you guys serve so many different areas. And before this whole pandemic, there was a lot more opportunities for people to give to you. But what does that look like now as things have kind of shifted just all over the place?
Well, unfortunately, we're all experiencing COVID-19 and the repercussions of the pandemic. And unfortunately, it has sharply declined our blood collections. Mm-hmm. A lot of our larger accounts are working remotely with their employees from home. A lot of high schools are working remotely as well, and colleges are holding online classes. So about, 20% of our donors come from the age groups of 18 to 25. So without having those blood drives, we're not getting the collections that we need to help support our hospitals.
So what can we do to make up for that need? Because no matter what, that need's still going to be there. So how can we meet it given everything that's happening?
Absolutely. Well, we are doing everything we can on our blood mobiles and our donor centers to make it a very safe experience for everyone. We are following all the CDC and FDA guidelines in terms of sanitation and social distancing. We check your temperature before you get on the blood mobile, and everyone on our blood mobiles currently are wearing masks. So everything is being done to make it a safe experience. So we really encourage people to come out, especially now that we need this blood more than ever, to bring a friend with you, or maybe possibly even host a blood drive at your church or neighborhood.
So obviously the increase has, obviously the need has increased, which means you guys are kind of having to be more creative with what you offer and how to just get people on the bus to give blood. But have you noticed an increase in donors who are really stepping up, like maybe even first-time blood donors?
We are seeing some more people come into our centers, but, the need is so great. We really encourage people to continue making those donations. Lots of times people will make that initial blood donation and think, that the need's gone. Unfortunately, the need is recurring. Blood is not something that can be purchased from a store, and it does have a shelf life. So we do need those donors not to just have that initial blood donation, but to keep coming back and making it a habit.
And Karen, I hear, and I've been hearing this every time I chat with you, how great the need is. Can you put it in perspective, like how often somebody is in need of a blood donation?
Certainly. Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood.
Oh, my gosh.
So keep that in mind. Yes, one every 2 seconds. So, and when you consider right now, we're actually in a national blood shortage. Sometimes we're able to import blood from other areas to help with shortages, but right now there's nowhere for that blood to come from. So now more than ever, we really want people to step up. And now with the added COVID-19 crisis, we're trying to help our hospitals even more by providing patients fighting COVID-19 convalescent plasma to help them get over the disease.
So say for some reason, we don't want to donate blood, but we can still donate plasma. Like, that's always an option, and it's still a need.
Oh, absolutely. The cases right now in Jacksonville are shooting up. We're seeing it. A lot of our major hospital partners are getting a lot of patients in. And the convalescent plasma donation, that can save up to 5 people's lives. So when you think about the numbers, if you and your family of 4, say, have all recovered from COVID, just one family of 4 could help save up to 20 patients currently battling the disease.
And Karen, if this speaks to us, then how can we give? How can we help you and these other people that are in such dire need?
Of course. You can visit our website, lifesouth.org, or step into one of our centers. We have a center on Bay Meadows Way, and we also have a center at Baptist Downtown that's open Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So if you have the time, we would love for you to stop in and save some lives with us.
And Karen, we're slowly, or not slowly, it's already February, but we're transitioning out of National Blood Donor Month. So what did LifeSouth do to celebrate that and make that known to so many people?
Of course. National Blood Donor Month is a wonderful time of year. It was actually first celebrated in 1970. So today, this past month was the 52nd anniversary. It comes just in time to honor those who have donated in the previous year and encourage those who have not to start a new hobby or make a new resolution this year to save lives.
Well, do you know why it kind of sparked in 1970?
I believe it had to do with the war that was going on at the time.
Oh, okay. So that's a good reason.
I believe the Vietnam War was happening in 1970. Now, Colby, I need to fact check that.
I'm not going to fact check you. Yeah, I hear the typing. I'm learning with you. I mean, there's so much and so many opportunities, and I love how the need for giving blood is continuously being noticed and recognized. I mean, now even 51 years later.
Yeah, from what I see here, going on here was, yes, I believe it was from the Vietnam War was when it got started.
Man, well, such a cool reason to be able to celebrate January. And I feel like going into the new year with such newness, like maybe that was able to be a New Year's resolution. But one thing, Karen, I want to know, do you have any just really testimonial stories for people that received blood and their life was just completely altered in a great way?
That is a wonderful question. I actually had the pleasure to meet a local mom who was expecting her daughter. She actually gave birth to her daughter 12 weeks early and received 30 plus units of blood. And now the baby is approximately a year old. It's been a year since mommy gave birth, and now baby Eliana is a happy, healthy, one-year-old child, able to enjoy all the things that other children are.
Man, and it seems like so many times, like we give a dollar at the cash register when they're asking if we want to donate to something, or like this, we give blood without really recognizing the impact it has. But when you share stories like that, you think, oh my gosh, yeah, this really is a real person.
Absolutely. We hear these stories every day, and it makes us feel so good to hear that we are able to help these families and their loved ones. And it takes a village. It takes a community. We're a community-based blood center, so we really can't thank our donors enough to come out and continue to make those blood donations so we can continue saving lives.
And what about these people who want to donate blood, and as the vaccine continues to get distributed, are they able to? How does that work?
Of course. So if somebody is vaccinated with either the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, there is no deferral period for donating blood. They could have the vaccine that morning and donate blood that afternoon if they're feeling well enough. Now, as other vaccines start to develop and come to market, there will be a deferral period for 2 weeks. But then again, that might change. But right now, the only vaccines are Moderna and Pfizer, and those have no impact on donor eligibility.
Oh, that's good to know, because I was definitely curious.
Yeah, and we are still doing the COVID-19 antibody testing as well, because a lot of people that have COVID may be symptomatic and not even know that they have it. So that's an added bonus we're doing right now. So if you're curious about your status, maybe you had a little bit of a tickle in your throat or a little bit of a cold symptom, you want to know your status, come on in and donate. We'll be more than happy to tell you.
And how long would it take for us to get those results back from you?
It just takes a couple days.
Oh, okay. Not bad at all. And Karen, as we are still charging into the new year, what new exciting things do we have to look forward to with LifeSouth?
So we have some great new promotional materials that are coming out. We have some T-shirts coming out that are really adorable. They say, give a lot of love. They're a llama-themed T-shirt. Yes, we also have some some really beautiful rainbow T-shirts that are coming out. You know, we'll have more things coming out as well. We have lots of promotions, but they come up a little bit later in the year.
Okay, well, sweet. Karen, I know everyone's really looking forward to that and excited, but for now, tell us how we can get in contact with you and how we can go out and give some blood.
Of course. Just visit lifesouth.org. Remember, Valentine's Day is coming up, and what better way to be somebody's Valentine than to share the gift of life with somebody else? So please visit lifesouth.org. You can learn all about convalescent plasma. You can find a blood drive. And if you want to partner with LifeSouth, you own a church or a small business or even have an organization, we'd love the chance to work with you. Again, you can visit lifesouth.org for more information.
Sweet. Karen, thank you so much for all you do, and thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you, Colby. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio. Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is just all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we're chatting with is Paola Lorenzo. She's the media specialist for City of Jacksonville. Paola, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Colby. Happy to be here.
So excited because 4th of July is literally here. So what does the City of Jacksonville have to offer us during the 4th?
Yes, so we have our annual Jacksonville 4th of July fireworks celebration, and it's coming back this year. We were able to have it last year, even through the pandemic, in a different manner, but this year we're excited just to be back throughout the city.
So what does it look like for you guys to be back and kind of charging it full force?
Yeah, so last year, due to the pandemic, we decided to offer multiple locations and be able to give the community a place to watch the fireworks show that we have annually here in Jacksonville every year. So last year we did that at 6 different locations, and we said, why not bring it back? So this year, all of the locations include the St. John's Town Center, FSEJ North Campus, the Avenues Mall, Trinity Baptist Church, and Ed Austin Regional Park. And at each of those, we have a fireworks display at 9:45 p.m. that will go off for everybody to watch near to their homes.
And these are all, like, separate firework displays. Like, the fireworks we see at the town center is going to be different than the North Campus of FSCJ.
Yes, they're all going to be completely different. Each one is going to have its own crew of, you know, highly trained professionals in the show. We did that so that just everybody can watch either from their houses in the nearby residential areas, or just so they can have somewhere closer to their home if they don't live near downtown.
All right, I know everybody asks this, and like for me, I never want to leave my house on the 4th just because of how crazy traffic is. Do you have suggestions on where to park, or is there like even a website where we could go, hey, this spot is closest to you and you should park here?
Yeah, so the website to find all of the details is events.coj.net. However, all of our locations are big enough and safe enough for us to be able to have these launch sites for the show. So they have surrounding parking lots that will be, I mean, depending on the location, it'll vary. But for most of them, they have their own parking lots where you can park.
And is this something where we go online and we need to buy tickets for it?
No, this is completely, completely free. And, you know, it's one of those things where we want the community to just come together. But we also have one more location that we want to chat about is the downtown location.
What's going on there?
That one, yeah. So for that one, over at River Swamp Plaza, which is the area that replaced the landing, that green space, we're actually offering a concert presented by Miller Electric Company featuring the Brian Malpass Band and Straight Up, another band, as well as a family fun zone with inflatable ski ball, an obstacle course, inflatable axe throwing, bounce houses, food trucks, and bars with drinks and stuff. Lots of fun for the whole family and kids of all ages.
And everything you just named, that is just happening at the downtown location?
Yes, so only downtown, right up on the river at Riverfront Plaza, and that one will kick off at 5 p.m., and then we'll have our own individual show over there, too, that will also start at 9:45, the fireworks show.
Oh, my gosh. And that, even everything you just named, more than just the fireworks, like, we still don't need a ticket for that.
No tickets needed. Admission is completely free for all of the family fun zone things and the concert. However, the food trucks and the bars with the drinks, those will be available for purchase.
And this kind of all started last year when y'all were forced to spread out, and that's why y'all chose six different locations. And was it just like a really good response? Like, do you think this will be something, a new tradition that we'll have?
Yeah, so honestly, the downtown show has been a tradition for so many years. And so it was obviously very high in communications. Like, okay, if there's a pandemic, we want to be safe, should we do this? And we decided, you know what, let's offer something that can be watched virtually because it was streamed online and on TV. And, you know, something that we can offer virtually, but also in person where people can watch from their individual vehicles and watch the awesome show to celebrate our nation's independence. So we did it, and that's why we offered all six locations, but it was so successful that we said, why not do it again?
And are you still offering a virtual experience or no, like come out, check it out?
Yeah, come out, check it out. We are having the audio to the, like, there's a music soundtrack, and that'll be aired on the iHeartMedia radio station.
And then you said before you made it, like, the setup kind of so you could still stay in your car and see the fireworks. Is that still an option with the locations this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The show is, like I said, it's highly trained professionals, so the show is high up in the air, and anybody can watch it from even their homes if they live nearby.
Oh my gosh.
So definitely the vehicle.
So what are you most looking forward to for the 4th of July celebrations this year?
I'm excited to see humans.
Yeah.
You know? Just have that interaction and see people that just coming out with their families and their kids. And I actually even heard about pandemic babies that were born and haven't really been exposed to large crowds or events like this. So we're excited just to see people of all ages and see our friends and neighbors.
And how do you think this one is going to be better than all the years past? Like, there's a lot of pressure.
I feel like it gets better every year. You know, every single year, there's always something more that you can add. And we always try our best to do that for our community. So, yeah, I think every year gets better.
All right. And you, like, just briefly said, so will there be music that's timed with the fireworks?
Yes. So there is a soundtrack, and that will be played on 99.1 and 97.9.
Okay, does that just mean that, like, when a certain song's, like, tempo goes up, like, a firework goes out? Do you know how it works?
It's Think about it like an instrumental that you know, just kind of goes along with the fireworks.
Oh, okay, cool. And how long are each fireworks show at all the locations? Like, it starts at 9:45, but how long do they last?
Yes, it'll last till 10. So each show is about 15 minutes.
And do you suggest getting there, like, for the places other than downtown where it's just the fireworks show? How early do you think we should get there to, like, get set up and have a solid spot?
That'll definitely vary. It'll be up to which location you're going to and up to your, you know, you and your family's discretion. But absolutely, we highly encourage getting there early in general.
Okay, sweet. So we have 6 different locations. Fireworks start at 9:45. But again, Paola, tell me all the locations this is happening and then what is added to the downtown location.
Absolutely. So downtown, the St. John's Town Center, FSCJ North Campus, Avenues Mall, Trinity Baptist Church, and Ed Austin Regional Park. All of the shows start at 9:45 p.m., and the downtown location specifically will have a concert presented by Miller Electric Company featuring the Brian Malpass Band and Straight Up, as well as a family fun zone including inflatable skee ball, obstacle course, inflatable axe throwing, bounce houses, food trucks, and drinks.
And then just to reiterate, this is happening on the 4th of July because it's the 4th of July fireworks.
Yes, yes, on Sunday, July 4th this year, 2021.
And Paola, what's the best website if we want to figure out, like, wow, there's all these locations, which one's closest to me, and just kind of find out more info?
Absolutely. So the website will be events.coj.net. You'll click on 4th of July fireworks, or just follow along on our social media accounts at City of Jack's Events, and we post regularly on updates.
Okay, sweet. And again, 100% totally free. Just show up. Have a good time.
Yep.
All right, Paola, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Awesome. No, thank you, Colby. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.